The NFL owners' meetings are underway, where head coach Mike McCarthy talked about the future of the team. We'll discuss, but first, we kick off the show with an interview featuring former Packers running back Ryan Grant. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the NFL owners' meetings that are taking place currently in Arizona. But first, we kick off the show with a guest joining us on the line. We have former Packers running back Ryan Grant. Mr. Grant, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. We're glad to have you on the show. Are you a basketball fan? Were you excited to see your school, Notre Dame, advance to the Sweet 16 over the weekend?
Yeah, I am. I'm not going to, you know, act like I got a chance to watch too many games this year, but I have seen them play a couple games, and I was impressed. And, yeah, we're glad I actually got a chance to catch the game against Butler. So I'm glad they were able to get it done. I think it's the first time since Sweet 16 since I was in school.
Wow, that's for a program like that,
time, yeah.
That's a stretch.
That's
jeez,
a long
but
time.
They're doing yeah. They're looking good right now. So I think they
yeah,
could
they're looking good, so.
put a scare into some people. Ryan, the reason
absolutely.
That drew me to you were your comments on the recent retirement of Chris Borland on social media. You know, First of all, what was your reaction to the news when you heard it?
I think, like most, I was a little surprised. Because he retired, just because it wasn't specifically retirement, it was how young he was. You know, I think a lot of times you see, you know, you don't see these things happening, of course, because for the norm, society would say, why would you do that? So much money, so much, you know what I mean? So much opportunity to play the game. And I think from a fan stance, and even maybe from a peer stance, player wise, you know, you're thinking, you know, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Why end it short? And for the most part, the game ends on not on your account anyway, on somebody else's accord anyway, so why not just ride it out as long as possible? But, you know, I think that in today's day and age, with all the information, I think you're going to start to see some things change and some of these type of decisions being made.
Is head trauma something you fear after an NFL career in which you took your share of big hits?
I don't know if I fear it. I actually, it's something that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I think that I would, I'd be doing myself a disservice if I wasn't aware of it and I didn't pay attention to it. To me, it's no different from taking care of your body while I was playing and, you know, and doing the things that it was necessary to make sure that I played at a high level and paying attention to my body and how it reacts and stuff like that. Anybody who plays football professionally for years and, you know, they're, majority of their life has been as a football player, if they're not paying attention to, you know, how their body reacts to certain things and the little things, then they're doing themselves a disservice while they're playing or not. It doesn't make a difference. So for me, I was more of a proactive person. I figured, you know, with with all the head trauma that clearly we're having, you know, not just the concussions that are reported, you know, it's more along the lines of things that are unreported.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little dingers, the little thing, you know, those little things, you know, when you hear those terms, cobwebs, shake the cobwebs out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are pretty often. And in our game, you know, those kind of go past and they go unreported and all those things. But I think over time, those can wear on you. So for me, I used to do a lot of things like memory games and try to, you know, be proactive and keep myself sharp. I actually took a 3-day scan. I went to the aiming clinic.
Okay.
And took a 3-day scan basically after watching a TED talk on brain trauma and healing properties and how healing the brain and stuff like that. So I went and had this big scan done. And they definitely told me that they could see the trauma from football. you know, I just didn't have a lot of the symptoms. And they said it was because I was proactive, because I took care of my body. I took care of my mind. I ate well. Diet was a very big part. But, you know, when you look at people who have these traumas, of course, we're more susceptible to these brain diseases. But at the same time, it just means it's like saying, you know, somebody who has an ankle injury or a knee injury, you might be more susceptible to a particular type of injury because of that. But now you just have to be proactive. You just got to work out, you know, keep yourself in shape and keep yourself active. I think that's along the lines where you need to go.
I know you talked about kind of the little hits that kind of build to be a big thing, but I guess I'm just wondering, have you ever been officially diagnosed with a concussion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I definitely have. I've probably had concussions that I was not diagnosed with. You know, I do believe the staff in Green Bay is a phenomenal staff, and they do a great job. But it's one of those things that the nature of the sport, things are going to go overpass and overlooked. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is. You know, it's a very masculine, the culture is tough. And when we think of toughness, you know, the culture and the history of toughness a long time kind of goes through fight through the pain. You know, mm-hmm. and consider the brain, you know, not so much now, but the brain, if you said you had a headache or you said your head hurt or something like that, and you didn't fight through it, you know, years ago, that was considered a weakness. So guys wouldn't let that out, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, guys wouldn't say they would just play through it, when now we see the damage that's being done behind that. So honestly, I'm not surprised with the information that he was willing to make that. I just know that for me, it was important that show support, because with Borland's decision, like, I know it was tough. You know, mm-hmm. I know it wasn't, you know, some people might think it was just easy. I know it wasn't easy because a game that he loves, and I know he truly loves it. Society tells him that this game is worth so much and his value is in this so much around the dollar bill and how much opportunity, blah, blah, blah. For him to do that, it's really admirable. And I'm glad he had a supporting cast and his family and all that, because that's big. You know, that's big for a young man who probably aspired the past 5, 6, 7 years of his life to do exactly what he was doing, and now to give it up based upon his, you know, gut feeling is that's big. So I applaud him.
You alluded to this earlier, but how far is this going to go? Is Chris Borland going to be the first player of a trend of players retiring at an early age, or is this just going to kind of be one of a rare few?
It's funny. I think I'm not to say that I think that guys are just going to be retiring left and right,
mm-hmm.
because I think the culture of football is so strong. It's a landmark. So people are going to play football regardless. There's always going to be people that are going to want to play the game. It's not going to die out like mm-hmm. that. But what I do think is that because of the information and because of the knowledge now that people are having, you're seeing guys who are realizing that they don't have to ride the game out and play as long as they want. They'd rather walk away on their own accord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a situation like Patrick Willis, it wasn't necessarily his head.
Yep.
But you know, I read something where he said that, you know, he looks at his coaches and he looks at some of these older guys and they can't walk, you know, their fingers are mangled, their hands, you know, their shoulders, their knees, there are all these issues. And I remember being in college and in the pros as well and saying the same thing. How come all my coaches walk with a limp? You know, how come all my former player coaches, you know, look like this or their hands are mangled? I said, I don't want that. You know, I want to be able to play with my kids and run around and be active and be the, you know, in the type of shape that I want to be able, to do what I want to do. And so I think that now when you're looking at, there's so much information out there and there's so much data that people have access to, that they're educating themselves, mm-hmm. you know, or they're being educated, you know, and I think that that's kind of increasing the level of awareness. So with awareness comes change. And so I do see people maybe shutting careers a little shorter, you know, as opposed to guys trying to play 14 years, maybe 10 years,
yeah.
you know, as opposed to maybe playing 10 years, you know, and trying to get 2 or 3 big contracts, maybe they'll just be solid with 1 big contract, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, I think we're still in a place where the money's going to override, you know, the amount of opportunity and the money is going to override the awareness. We're not in a place where people were saying, they literally had a report that said, listen, people are guaranteed to die at this point. You know, the numbers might drastically change, but that's not the case, man. I don't think that'll ever be the case. But I just think that as a whole, you're going to start to see people's change on maybe how long they play throughout their career. You know, guys said, we always had this notion that, man, I'm just going to ride this thing out as long as possible, you know, in the league. And guys kind of say, you know, maybe not, I might not do that now. And it might be particular to position as well.
We're talking to former Packers running back Ryan Grant here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Ryan, I know Packers Nation would be curious to hear what you're doing in your post-playing career. What's next for Ryan Grant?
Well, a lot of things. You know, I opened a cafe in Brooklyn, New York.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's been going well. As a hobby, I picked up the guitar.
All right.
I play that, and it's funny because I play that. I try to football and practice. That aspect has really helped me because I play a routine every single day. And I know how to rep things up because of ball. But honestly, a lot of traveling, and I do business in California. I do some things in New York production wise.
Do you want some free advertising for the cafe in Brooklyn? What's it called?
AP Cafe.
AT?
AP.
AP.
Like Adrian Peterson, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't name it after Adrian. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
AP Cafe.
Very cool.
In Bushwick, Brooklyn.
All right.
But honestly, the most important thing that I've been doing, I have a five and a half month old daughter, and she's been my world as of within the past year. So that's really been my number one job right now. And just excited about that. So she's been my new season.
Very cool. Congratulations.
Whole different type of season. Thank you.
I'm just curious. The NFL held its first ever veterans combine this past weekend. Is this something you would have considered if you were maybe a few years younger?
Maybe not.
Hard to tell.
And, I know I was not considering it now. And I think that, you know, for guys who are, it's one of those things. I think it's more beneficial, honestly, for the league.
Yeah.
Than it is for the players because it consolidates all. So instead of the league having to bring all these guys in, the different teams, blah blah blah. It's basically probably a bunch of teams consolidated all their workouts. They can all go to one spot, see each other, kind of converse about different things, maybe talk about some other things. I guess it's around the time that the owners' meeting happens as well.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of teams, and hopefully for a few guys. I don't know, you know, I haven't heard too many reports about guys blowing things away because my thing is, they for the most part they kind of know, you know, and they might get maybe one or two guys. I would think that might blow out the water and you know open some eyes, but for the most part, you're just gonna either solidify yourself. As opposed, you know, you're just going to say, like, have scouts and GM say, you are who we think we are, or you're going to really do damage and basically turn all yourself off. So, I think that it's an opportunity. And if people are willing to take that opportunity, that's fine. I think that it's not going to be something that everybody's going to jump on by no means. I don't think that I think some guys are going to play cautious and some veterans. You know, I don't know how did it go this year so far.
From what I've heard, things went well. There was one interesting case of a player I heard who ran the 40-yard dash in like 4.9 seconds, and he admitted, my career's over now. You know, he chose to participate in the combine, and being an older player,
yeah.
He ran a 4.9. He says, my career's done.
What player was that?
I wish I could recall. I saw it on social media the other day. I'll tweet it to you when the show is over.
Okay. Well, it must have been some sort of skilled player if he thought his career was over. And,
true. Yeah, maybe not a lineman.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, when you have that type of situation, yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. I think it's funny. I think Brady Quinn was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to see how he did. You know, I hope it works out for him because I think that I hope he gets another opportunity to show his skills. As being a former college teammate and a friend. So, you know, I think it could be good. You know, I'm not one of those guys that thinks that it's it's phenomenal. It's not like that to me. You know, the teams know you can put film on, and if you want to do a workout or you want to have guys run and put them through some sort of drill, that's fine. But to have a whole combine, it's very different because anybody knows that it's basically, I bet you the combine is basically one big workout. If you're putting guys through the same drills,
yeah.
You're putting guys through the college combine, it's not necessarily going to translate.
Yeah.
Because how many guys, and I don't know if they're doing that, but outside of football drills, how many guys are running three cones and shuttles and stuff like that after eight years in the league? And, you know what I mean? It doesn't translate all. It's impractical to do that. So, I think that if it's all football stuff and just drills and showing guys, those type of things, it's cool. It's a reference. And, I hope the guys who go for it to take advantage of it and works out for them.
Point taken. Ryan, we appreciate your time. Just one last question before you go. As a former Packers running back, what's your impression of the guy they've got now? What do you think of the job Eddie Lacy has done in Green Bay?
I love him. I think Eddie's doing a great job. I like how they use him. Of course, I'd like for them to use him a little more. But, as long as they have Aaron, that's a little rough. But I do think they do a great job with him. I think he's only going to get stronger and continue to become more and more comfortable with his linemen, for what he's doing, what they're asking him to do. I think that James provides a really nice little sidebar punch for them and a little spark. And, I think they'll probably just want, Eddie to, maybe start a little faster, but he comes on so strong and Green Bay loves the big back, being able to run in the winter and run in the cold. So, I'm excited. Yeah, I think that, I know Aaron likes what he has back there in the backfield and weapon-wise. So he takes a lot of pressure off him. So, I'm excited. I think it was a great move by Green Bay to get him, to pick him up. And, I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to rock on.
Very cool. Well, Ryan, I've kept you longer than I said I would. I appreciate all the time you've given us this morning. Congratulations again with the birth of your daughter, and we're going to send people to AP Cafe in Brooklyn.
There you go. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Former Packers running back Ryan Grant joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. How great was that? That was a great interview. So really excited to have him on the show. Excited to have you, the listener, joining us as well. And now it's time for... let's try that again. Now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
There we go. Here on a Monday morning, the NFL owners meetings are taking place in Arizona as we speak. Also over the weekend, as we talked about with Ryan Grant, the inaugural Veterans Combine took place on Sunday. In addition to the college prospects, the Super Regional Combine, all these things taking place in the greater Phoenix area, maybe Tempe or whatever suburbs things are going on at. So the Packers busy taking a look at possible prospects, whether they're veterans, whether they're rookies. And certainly nothing is imminent here in terms of any veterans they'll sign, but they were definitely in the house, and they are going to receive the results of all these drills that took place and receive video of the workouts and things like that. As far as the college prospects go, well, you won't find out about them until the draft at the earliest, or undrafted free agency. So kind of wait and see mode. But the bigger news from the NFL owners meetings is the media had access to head coach Mike McCarthy yesterday, team president Mark Murphy. You can read these reports in any number of outlets. They're just all over the internet this morning. I know outlets that have had representatives in Phoenix, they sent reporters there, include the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, ESPNWisconsin.com. I'm trying to think of any other media outlets that were there. Perhaps that's it off the top of my head. I mean, there's, tons of national media there, representing other teams as well. But go to the Press Gazette, the Journal Sentinel, ESPN Wisconsin. You'll find plenty of news from the NFL owners meetings. Among the most prominent comments yesterday were from head coach Mike McCarthy saying he'll build from within, or the team will build from within. Not expecting the Packers to sign any free agents, kind of just becoming used to the status quo in Green Bay between under the tenure of general manager Ted Thompson. We'll say here's one quote. I know I pulled up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JSOnline.com here. from McCarthy yesterday, from reporter Tom Silverstein. To quote Mike McCarthy here, veteran free agency is still going on. That will play out. We'll see what happens between now and the draft. Obviously, we've put a lot into the draft. We rely on the draft as probably our prominent avenue of player acquisition. I'm not concerned, end quote. The unconcerned part about veteran free agency and the Packers perhaps using it or not using it as a venue of player acquisition. It's not ruling it out by any means, just not counting on it per se as a means of improving the team. And, I kind of asked out on Twitter before the show started whether you thought the Packers would go outside the organization to sign a free agent and who the Packers might sign. And I didn't get a whole lot of responses, probably because I think a lot of people are just resigned to the fact that, you know what? Packers probably not going to be involved in free agency, but did get a few guesses out there, and I'll throw these names out there. Who knows? Mark Wellner on Twitter says, yes, Rob Housler. Jeremy Vanderlinden on Twitter says, I think Ted gets one of the inside linebackers out there. My money is on Brandon Spikes. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I think if they do it, it could be Wes Welker if it's at Green Bay's price. Packer Fanatic on Twitter, Fanatic Packer, says, would love to see Greg Jennings or one of the inside linebackers out there, either Mason Foster or Brandon Spikes. So there you go. Those were the responses I received. Thank you for turning them in. The general sentiment seems to be if the Packers do it, it would either be at inside linebacker or wide receiver. Obviously, there's been speculation about Greg Jennings and Wes Welker, been reports that the Packers are interested or could be. And I think people connecting the dots between the lack of depth at the inside linebacker position in Green Bay and the fact that there's still several free agents out there on the market and the Packers could end up signing one of them. The thing that may prevent them from doing so, of course, is the compensatory draft pick formula. The Packers are going to get draft choices from the losses of Tremont Williams and Devon House. And should they sign an unrestricted free agent, it's possible they could cancel out one of those signings. That would be the downside of doing so, and something the Packers not going to want to do. You know, here Devon House and Tremont Williams ended up signing quite lucrative contracts with their new teams, possibly garnering the Packers as high as a fourth, maybe a fifth round draft pick last year. And if you go out and sign a guy like Brandon Spikes, that jeopardizes the chances of you getting a draft pick in 2016. So, you know, that's why the Packers wouldn't do it. I'm not sure what they do. At a certain point, you know, that they're if a player lasts until I think it's like, you know, June, July, then you can sign them and it no longer counts as part of this formula anymore. Now, that being said, I don't think, you know, Brandon Spikes exactly wants to wait until that time. He's going to take the any deal that comes along in the meantime that gives him a little bit of security. So Packers going to have to kind of play a game here a little bit. And now it depends on the contract they sign, too. If it's simply for 1 year and a minimum amount of money, it's possible that they don't count in this equation at all. But anyway, that's the word from Mike McCarthy yesterday at the NFL owners meeting. Other news in the world of the Green Bay Packers, the report from Packer Report, Bill Huber, saying the Packers are in negotiations with defensive lineman B.J. Raji, expected to re-sign him. Probably not really coming as a surprise by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, it could end up moving rather fast here. Now that, you know, the Tremont Williams and Devon House are gone, in addition to Randall Cobb, Brian Bulaga being signed, you know, who's next on the priority list? You know, you're probably looking at the Packers defensive lineman, B.J. Raji and LaTroy Guyon, and, you know, LaTroy Guyon might take a little bit of extra time just simply because of his legal troubles and getting all that sorted out first. But you could certainly imagine that B.J. Raji could sign here very shortly with the Green Bay Packers. So wouldn't doubt that at all. Kind of just a matter of how much money is it for. You know, last year he signed a one-year, $4 million deal. I don't even think he's going to get as good of a contract this year. Probably, I would say maybe cutting that in half. 1 year, $2 million, something along those lines. So another prove-it contract for B.J. Raji. All that much as he nears 30 years old, but still an opportunity for him to resurrect his career after it's kind of hit a low point after a year spent on injured reserve last year. So unfortunate about that, but a chance for him to get back in the good graces of the organization. Not that he, you know, I'm sure he's in their good graces, but in terms of becoming a big playmaker, let's say. The opportunity is there for B.J. Raji. So that's it for the Packers news. As far as
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers on this Monday, compensatory draft picks in the NFL are expected to be announced today, according to a report from ESPN.com. The Packers, you know, we talked about the potential of next year's comp draft picks based upon what happens in free agency. But this year, they're expected to get 2 sixth-round draft picks from the losses of last year. James Jones and Evan Dietrich Smith. Jones going to the Oakland Raiders. Evan Dietrich Smith going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As we talk about many times on this show, I think the compensatory draft picks, just news about them in general kind of gets swept under the table. And I think they're a lot more important than people realize, because I do think it's a driving force in what the Packers do or don't do in free agency. You know, last year they went and signed 2 free agents, very notable ones, at least in terms of Julius Peppers, but also LaTroy Guyon. But the reason, part of the reason the Packers went out and spent money on these guys is because they were not technically unrestricted free agents. They were in the category of street free agent because they were released by their previous organizations, Peppers in Chicago and Guyon in Minnesota. And therefore, they don't count in this draft pick formula. The Packers not gonna, they don't cancel out the losses of James Jones and Evan Dietrich Smith. So I think that is very, very notable from that aspect. So Packers expect to get 6th-rounders, a pair of 6th-rounders for these losses. And it's possible here, folks, and I laid this all out in this morning's Packers calendar post at CheeseheadTV.com. Go ahead and read it. You can cross your fingers for 1 extra 7th-round selection for perhaps the losses of either Marshall Newhouse or C.J. Wilson, but it's equally possible that they didn't quite meet the minimum cutoff point in terms of being, you know, counting toward this comp pick formula. If it were to happen, Packers might get an extra 7th-rounder. But, you know, I tend to think they're not going to count at all. I tend to think the Packers are not going to get this extra 7th-round pick here. I think looks like Marshall Newhouse is kind of above C.J. Wilson in the pecking order here. Regardless, like I said, cross your fingers. It's just a free pick. It's just a free extra selection if the Packers get it, which is great. I think it's awesome. You know, we're at the 7th-round. That's just one less player. you know, you, when undrafted free agency starts, these guys can sign with whoever they want. You're competing against 32 other teams in undrafted free agency to sign a dozen players or so. You know, you get an extra seventh round pick. You get who you want at that point, and you don't have to compete against anyone. So I do think they're valuable from that standpoint as well. So like I said, cross your fingers. Just no guarantees here that it's going to happen. So that and the NFL owners meeting continues. It's going to continue for the next several days. I think it wraps up on Wednesday, actually. So kind of 4 days here total from Sunday through Wednesday. And, you know, they're going to be talking about rule changes in the NFL. A lot of stuff regarding instant replay has been proposed. Apparently, there's not a lot of traction in terms of they don't think there's going to be many rule changes this year. I did read somewhere, I should have cited this, that they do think the one rule change that has the best chances of taking place this year would be having stationary cameras along the goal line and end zone lines, which totally makes sense to me. I've always wondered that in the past, where especially, you know, there's a play at the goal line, whether somebody crosses it or not or something, but the angle isn't quite, you know, like right parallel or perpendicular with the goal line, and you wonder why, like, why can't you have a camera there? Like, there's all this money being invested to the NFL, millions of billions of dollars, and why can't you just have stationary cameras that are simply placed right along the goal line, right perpendicular with it? You know, not 5 yards, you know, at an angle, right perpendicular with it. And that would certainly give you a whole lot better, you know, as far that's helping instant replay, you know. So I definitely think that one makes sense to me. I know there's a lot of other instant replay, you know, tweaks being proposed. I know the one thing the NFL doesn't want is they don't want the game to get longer. They don't want more challenges, more plays being reviewed to just drag out the game. And I understand that. So if there's any way they can tweak instant replay without kind of, you know, increasing the time of the game, I think they'd consider it. But anyway, so there's your primer on rule changes. You know, they've talked about expanded playoffs. They've talked about tweaks to the overtime, things like that. Tweaks about scoring. There's actually been some wild proposal about, you know, after an extra, a 2-point conversion, if you make it, you get the chance at an extra point and a long field goal, something crazy like that. Don't foresee that happening. But it's out there, just in case you wanted to know. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on an edition of Railbird Central this Monday morning. Thanks to former Packers running back Ryan Grant for joining us on the show, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. We'll see you again on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of everybody else from our website, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Cannon in the Heavens, featuring lyrics born by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go.
Son, you've had it every time that I'm rapping, baby. Going to the mattress is a cannibal about it. Devouring you average motherfuckers like a panther does a rabbit, does a cabbage. I'm a beast, a mammoth, I'm a freak, a savage, I'm an abnormality. Ain't no matter doubt it, I'm a beast.